that you have made it possible to know and love and be in a perfect relationship with a holy God. And Father, thank you for your word that speaks truth to our hearts, that sanctifies us and changes us. And Father, thank you that you want to speak to us today, that you are with us, that you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways this last week, our failures and successes, our hopes and dreams and fears. And thank you, God, that you want to minister in all of those personal places. And so we ask you now that you'll take this time of sharing your word and change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to Risen Life. We're glad you've chosen to worship with us this morning. And it's Super Bowl Sunday, right? And so, Robert, who are you cheering for today?
The Oakland Bay Supersonics.
They're not.
I don't watch hockey.
Yes.
But today, is a palindrome.
What's a palindrome?
Palindromically speaking.
What's a palindrome?
Why didn't they make the word palindrome a palindrome? A palindrome is a word that's spelled the same backwards it is forward. Race car is a palindrome. Wow. So today is a palindrome.
So
0202-2020.
Wow, that's awesome.
There's you some. That was worth cranking the truck for.
For us, yes. For us nerds, we like that. It's also Groundhog Day. Happy Groundhog Day, by the way.
Yeah, so same to you.
Lots of things going on today that have nothing to do with anything, really. So let's So let's look at God's Word and think about it this morning. And we are excited to be together, and we're excited to think about our vision for 2020. In January, we begin to think about what is God doing with us as a church, and where is He taking us, where are we headed as a church family in 2020. And we have, over the last many years, talked a lot about what we call real-life transformation, that God is taking us as His people and transforming us into the image of Christ. Paul said it well in Galatians 4:19, that He is in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in us. And so it is our aim for all of us who are believers in Christ to be taken from where we're at into the image of Christ and live and act like He would have us do.
We have never used numbers as the litmus test for if God is doing something here, because, you know, there's a book in the Bible named Numbers. We get it. But that is not what moved Jesus. When they left in John 6, it says many of them turned and followed Him no more. He didn't go chase them down. He wasn't running. His goal was not to build big numbers. His goal is to see changed lives. And if all we need is numbers, then all we need to measure that is a tally sheet. But if our goal is Him changing us from who we are into who He is, then in order to see how we're doing with that, we have to have a relationship. We have to be sitting across the table from one another to see how we're doing. Where are we at in this transformation process? And so it demands relationship. And while we have stressed that for 11 years, and we'll continue to, we want to move into just putting this little bug in our brain, real life multiplication. How are we seeing lives changed, added to, multiplied in this valley on all levels of our association with one another?
Yeah, our aim here this year is to talk a lot about real-life multiplication, to bring into balance real-life transformation with real-life multiplication, that as we are people who are changed by the gospel and by Christ, we, as we grow in maturity, should be people who multiply our lives into others. That as sure as we are being changed personally, we should have a heart to see others changed by the gospel. And to realize that wherever we go and whatever we do, we're thinking, not only am I living like Jesus, but how are those around me being impacted by my life? Are they finding Christ, coming to know Him through my life? Is my life multiplying into the lives of others?
And friends, as we sit across from one another, we are involved in the work of transformation. It says in Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. That is the result of it. But as we grow, as any organism matures and is working properly, the natural result of that is going to be multiplication. That is what God built into all of nature, and that is His intention, that we multiply not only who we are as a congregation, but who we are individually. And some of you might be sitting here thinking, well, I don't really do anything here. I just come and sit, and I don't do anything. You do something. Are you faithful? We need that. And if God's calling you to a new level, another level of involvement and ministry, then let us help you do that. But friends, no matter what it is that you do, it's not about the church planter. It's about the church plant. It's about this group, this community of people who are willing to go out there and lay down their lives for the sake of multiplying. Multiplying on all levels, corporately as well as individually.
Yeah, all of us have a place in the church family. All of us have been given giftedness and wirings that give us a place in the church family to serve and to love and to participate. And whatever that is that you do, that's an important part of multiplication for our church family. If you are a prayer, then get others to pray with you. If you are a deacon and a servant in the family, then get others to serve with you and to deek with you. If you are a giver, get others to give. If you are a nursery worker, get others to work in the nursery. If you're a teacher, get others to teach with you, so that we can multiply and grow the kingdom. And so all of us are called not only to transformation of our lives, but also to the multiplication of our lives in anything that we have been gifted by God to do.
We feel like God's called us this year to put a special emphasis on this issue of multiplication. Not that he's called us to change who we are or the vision, but you know, it's so easy to talk about real life transformation and to let the multiplication part of it slip by the wayside. See, it's so easy. And how many times are we motivated by what do I get out of this? We know what people come to church for, right? We know what it is. They want to know about the children's ministry. They want to know about the worship ministry. And they want to know if they can endure the preaching for 45 minutes, right? We know this. We've been to church for a long time. And it's easy for us to think that, well, it's all about me, but what if it's about something larger than us? What if it's about a kingdom that is so much larger than us? If that's the case, if it's about God receiving the glory, what can each one of us do to multiply what he has done in us into the lives of other people?
Yeah. So we want to be people that as we ask, how is God changing me? How am I being ministered to here in the church? At the same time, with equal intensity, how am I reaching the guest, the lost person, the new person, the neighbor, so that we have a balance in our hearts and our minds of not only our own personal transformation, but the reaching of lost people. We really want to see a bit of a culture change here so that that emphasis of multiplication is every bit as strong as transformation. One pastor that I used to pay a lot of attention to would say this often, that the thing that fades to the background fastest of all the things we're told to do as Christians is multiplication or the reaching of the lost person. That seems to be the fighting edge where Satan beats against us the hardest and causes us to drift to not doing it. Because that's the bottom line for planet Earth is to reach lost people and expand the kingdom. See, if Jesus comes back right now and all of us are immediately taken to heaven as believers in Christ, everything we're doing this morning we can keep doing except for reaching lost people. That's done. And so that is the urgent need of the hour, is to be people who think multiplication as we live in God's kingdom.
The reality is that God has built multiplication into all of nature. Any organism that is working properly as it matures is going to multiply. It's going to reproduce itself with life into another life. And you know, take a kernel of corn, one little bitty kernel of corn, and stick that thing in the ground. And a stalk's going to grow up, and how many other little kernels are going to be on that stalk? God has built multiplication into the very fabric of creation, of all of nature. And so as we enter into focusing on God, multiply us, not only us individually, transform us, dear God, multiply us individually, multiply us as a church, and God, use us in your kingdom worldwide. We are entering into his plan, his focus for all of nature.
So this morning we want to consider one little section of scripture, and that is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Very familiar for those of us who have been in church many years, but really the heart of what we're trying to say is that God has a heart for the nations, for people, and wants to see his kingdom multiplied and expanded. I'll read this for you. Matthew chapter 5, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and gives life to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so there is God's heart for us to be people who are a light to the world. Now, we want to look at this in three ways. One is to see that we are light in a kingdom sense, that we are light in a community sense, and that we are light as individuals. And so let's talk about light as a kingdom.
First off, kingdom, it says in Matthew 5:14, that first part, you're the light of the world. Listen, there is something about this gospel that is intended for the whole world. This is not just for us. It's not just because we were born in a Christian nation. No, we have been given a responsibility. But that we were born in a Christian nation means our responsibility is greater, that we have been blessed the way we have. We have a greater responsibility to make sure the gospel gets out. Here's the reality. There are some places in this world I cannot go. I can't. When we were in Peru years ago, we wanted to go down to Machu Picchu. Tall white American men were not welcome in Machu Picchu at that time. Yeah, Shining Path was not in approval. So I didn't go. I'm not able to go someplace. But we met a brother there who is a Mexican national who said, we are trying to train these people to go all over the world. He said, here's the reality. I can go someplace. I can go to North Korea. You cannot. He's right. He can take the gospel to North Korea. He can take the gospel into China, into places that I cannot go. I'm not allowed to go. But the gospel is for the entire world. This kingdom is so much bigger than any one fellowship. And how can we be involved? How can we link up with? How can we pray for? How can we support those who are doing the work of the ministry all over the world? That's what this thing is about, changing the entire world.
Yeah, the Bible says, let the nations be glad that we would all, of all nations, rejoice in the gospel and the freedom and the forgiveness that we have in it. And we have that message, and it is a message for all the nations. It says in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And as Pastor Robert said, you know, maybe you and I can't go to East Africa, but we know somebody who can. And does and have and has been sent out by here. And they'll be back here in 2 weeks to share with what God is doing with them in East Africa. And to have a heart for the nations that God has for the nations. We want to share that heart and be about a kingdom around the world.
So we align ourselves with others who are doing the work of the kingdom all over the world, in the community, and individually. And you know what? This is why on a local level we're so committed to church planting. Our desire is to get the message into places in this valley that do not have a church close by, and there are a lot of them. So far, we've planted 4 churches out of this place. We've helped several others just by being an encouragement to them. We have people who we can send out to do preaching, to help with preaching. Sean's gone today helping lead worship in another place. This is what we want to do, is equip leaders, equip people to be able to go and be a blessing no matter where they are needed. We're so thankful to be able to be involved in that.
And we all have a place in participating in this kingdom advancement. Buck Buchanan, one of our elders, just came back from being in North Carolina for a couple, 3 months, and he went out to Ochre Community Church where we have planted, and he said the population or the attendance there had doubled just in a couple months. Isn't that great? That God's kingdom is advancing, and all of us have a place, and some of us might be a part of that, like Buck is. Other of us might just be kind of praying for them and supporting, get together with those pastors. Others might actually join them for a season. Some might go and stay with them for a long time and just help them go over many years. But all of us have a place. All of us have something we can do that thinks outside of these walls, that influences other churches, not only in our world, but also in our valley, because we want to be kingdom-minded and not just about Risen Life Church.
And look at what this church is doing on a kingdom level, on a worldwide level. Being able to go into Guatemala, we've gone in there for like 8 years, something, 7, 8 years, something like that, at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. What a blessing to be able to do that, just to go and help a fellowship in very practical ways. Being able to go into Japan, Mark and Wendy Hoshizaki, missionaries out of this church, they're going to be retiring this year and coming back. How are we going to be able to bless them? And we have sent groups to Japan to be able to be a ministry there. Have folks that we're supporting in East Africa who have just moved. They've just moved there. That's where they want to serve. We've been able to get into Cuba, into Belgium, leading with worship ministry conferences there. Look at the places that just this small fellowship has been able to impact, be involved in. Because, folks, our goal, our desire is that we multiply what God has been doing in us all over the world as we watch it be multiplied in us individually.
And this is the heart of the Father. Jesus said, my Father is always about his business. He's always reaching to people, always showing the love of Christ to people through his Spirit, drawing people to himself. So much so that the kingdom of God is described as a little mustard seed. I love this. Matthew 13:31-32. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. That's such a beautiful picture that when we as people just sow little seeds of the gospel, it grows and it multiplies and people are reached and it provides shade and comfort and all the things that our hearts and souls need through the gospel. And that is the work that God is doing. It's way bigger than us. We have a little part, but it's way bigger than Risen Life. It's way bigger than the city, than the churches in the city of Salt Lake. It is a kingdom worldwide movement. But there are things you and I can do, even right here in Salt Lake City, little things that participate in the kingdom mentality rather than just individual personal church mentality. We have a concern center, for example, that reaches out to people in difficult situations, people who yet don't know Christ, giving them food and serving them with clothes and praying for them and coming alongside of them. We have a work in faith forum that gathers with people from different churches that talk business together in the mornings and share the gospel and how that is relevant to our lives. Josh, one of our youth pastor, gets together with other youth pastors around the valley to work together on how they can reach students in this valley together, multiple churches getting together. March 29th, we're going to have a multiple church worship service here together. That's a Sunday here in a few weeks ahead, where we're together with many churches worshiping Christ together. Things that have a kingdom mentality instead of just about our own little personal church.
And friends, the end result, the goal of the gospel is always that the nations be brought in. In Revelation, it says there are going to be nations, every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. You're not even going to be able to understand there are going to be so many of them. It's going to be such a wonderful thing. And in Psalm 86, all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Friends, that's the goal. How are we reaching out? How are we multiplying? And that's the reason, philosophically speaking, that's the reason we have, frankly, so many people on staff here. Our goal is to train people to do the work of ministry, not only in our area, not only in our fellowship. What can I get out of it? No, this is bigger than us. And it's longer than us. We have people on staff who are going to be serving the kingdom long after many of us are off the scene. But friends, what greater way is there to serve the kingdom than to allow transformation in us, God, please change me, and multiply that into the lives of other people.
So let's be kingdom-minded here at Risen Life, and I think we are to a large degree, and let's grow in that. But we also want to think about a second way that we multiply, and that is as a community of believers. Listen to Matthew 5:14. We are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. We are called a city. What's the city? And that is, it's the believers in Jesus. You know, growing up as a little child in church, I was always taught, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. We're always talking about ourselves being a light. That is true. But in this little section here, we are called a city. It's who we are together that's a light. We are radiating something together, not individually, but together we are communicating something to a lost world. They are watching us and they are seeing our light as a city shine.
So on a group and on a community level, there is something evangelistic about it. When Jesus said in John 13, this is how they're going to know you're my disciples, that you have love for one another. You just like it. You can just get along with one another. This is what community is about. And the end result of it in prayer, Jesus prayed, John 17, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Why? That they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's something evangelistic about when Christians are getting along, when they're allowing Christ to change them and work in one another together. There's something evangelistic about it.
We recently have had one of our dear friends and saints, Sonia Erich, pass away. And the way this church loved her and came alongside her to our blessing and our joy and loved one another was a great witness and testimony to her lost family. They came and they watched us love each other and watched us love her. And we were a city on a hill. We were a bright light as a people shining to her. And her family was touched. I heard them say, one of them said to me, who's not a believer, said, there's something special about this place. There's something about the love in this building that sets you guys apart. Not sure what it is, But that's us being a city. And this next weekend, on Saturday at 1 o'clock here at the church, many of you know Corby and Corinne Talbot. They've been in this church for 20 years or so. Corby's dad passed away suddenly at age 65, young. Many people in his family are not believers, and they're going to be here Saturday at 1 o'clock. And they're going to say, okay, what are these people, right? What are these people about? And our love for the Talbots and the family will be a bright light to their family as they try to find answers to what do we do with death and this hard loss of a dad or whatever, whoever he was in their lives. We are a city on a hill.
And we have the opportunity as a community with our neighbors to share that gospel. You know, the building next door has been sold by Abington. We knew it was going to happen. Who are they now? Alta Vista. They're going to be in Alta Vista. Well, there are a lot of issues that have to take place in that sale, that transfer, and there are some temptations on the part of some to let's kind of to the church, you know. And what are they? They're the church. They're not going to do anything. No, we're not going to be walked all over. We're not going to be walked on. But here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to treat them the way the world treats one another. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this thing in as righteous, as legitimate, Christ-like fashion as we possibly can, because we're a witness in this community. Listen, there's some around us who haven't necessarily been that excited about us over the years. We're working on that too. We want to have a good reputation in this community, because this church as a group impacts our neighbors just like you as individuals. Every one of us as individuals impact our neighborhood. If the cops are coming to your house all the time because you're screaming and throwing pans at each other, this is not a good witness. Okay? We're not mawing paw cattle here. Look that one up this afternoon. And if your trash is all over the lawn and you're bringing down the value of all the neighborhood because you let your house go to rack and ruin, this is not a good witness. And just like each one of us individually have a witness in our neighborhood, this building, this church, this community that we're a part of has a witness in this neighborhood.
And sometimes it's really, really hard to be a bright light for Christ when things are really, really tough. But those are the moments when we shine brightest. You know, I'm picturing, you know, Jared has met with lots of lawyers as our executive pastor in this business arrangement across the street. And sometimes he comes back pretty fired up. But he'll say, you know, I was calm, I was loving, I was gracious, I was firm. And it is in those moments that they see who we are as Christians. And it is in those moments that we set ourselves apart, because we could do things and just purely from a business and financial perspective, but it would look different than if Christ were first. And this is what we most want to do, is honor him in everything we do.
And friends, when people walk in this building, what do they see? Do they see a community of people that genuinely care, genuinely concerned for one another, going to be a blessing and encouragement as much as is virtually possible? We are a witness. And listen, here's what he said. He said in Psalm 133, he said, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's such a good thing when folks just get along. But here's what he said in verse 3, Psalm 133:3. Here's what he said. He said, for there, where? In the place of blessing. For there, the Lord commands a blessing. When folks are in unity, when they are united around a common purpose of getting the gospel out, God says, I command a blessing be on that house. And friends, this is a blessed house. This is a blessed house. Let's maintain that unity. Let's continue to strive for a common purpose of multiplying what God has done in us, what God is doing through us, into the lives of other folks.
So we want to multiply with a kingdom perspective. We want to multiply as a community, as a city on a hill. But finally, and the most common way that we often hear this, is we want to multiply as individuals. Verse 16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All of us as followers of Christ are on mission for him, and our ultimate aim is to bring glory to him by the way we live. All kinds of circumstances will come in our lives, some challenging, some good, but in everything what we aim to do is bring glory to him. And the Bible says that when we follow Christ, we are put inside of us the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit is inside of us, in Acts 1, we become witnesses in the way we live, in the way we act, in the way we speak. And so we want to be people who walk in the power of Christ, that everywhere we go, we are a bright light for Jesus.
And we can sit back and say, well, this is more than I can do. This is harder than what I can do. And we would agree, yeah, sure it is. That's right. But But we're not resting on our flesh. We're not encouraging people to screw up courage in your own flesh, because the Bible tells us it's God who works in us, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He's the one who does this thing. He does it through us. He uses us. But friends, He's the one who does it. And He creates opportunities. He gives us places. He gives us time to share that we could never come up with on our own. And if we're attentive to it, if we're looking for it, if they have that bug in our brain of how can we, God, how can we be multiplied? He's going to give us opportunities. That's His goal. He's the one who does it. And Paul said in Colossians 1, for this I told, struggling with all of His energy that He powerfully works within me. It's not about me screwing up my own strength. It's about me resting on the Holy Spirit who is resident inside every believer.
And so when we break huddle here this morning and leave and run the play that Jesus has for us to run today.
Oh, I get it.
We are called to be on mission for Jesus and to be a bright light for Him. Let's not just be Sunday Christians that come and sing and act politely here, but we take Christ with us. His Spirit goes with us. Everywhere we go, He comes with us. And we are to serve Him throughout the valley. Our private lives matter. People are watching, and what we are privately says everything about our commitment to Christ personally. Let's be people who not only publicly when we're together, but privately, in our homes, in our workplaces, even when we're sitting alone or walking alone or exercising alone, we honor Christ in our hearts and lives.
And friends, it should be our goal that it can honestly be said about us that we're the same at home as we are anywhere else, that we're just going to act like Christians because that's what God's called us to do. Now imagine this next week. If every one of us had a tracker in the top of our little brainy brains and we could track ourselves on a map up here, sounds like 1984. Who was that? Orwell. George Orwell, that's it. But if we could follow where every one of us go this week, what would happen? What would happen in this valley? Where would those lights be in this valley? Imagine that. Just this number, we have about 400 close to that show up basically every week. Just those in this little church. If we could see where everyone goes in the valley this week, where would our valley map be lit up? You are going to find yourself in places that we will never be able to go to. We will be in places that you do not go to. And if we were everyone willing to and determined, God, multiply your kingdom through us, what would happen across this valley? It would be such an amazing thing to see the impact that we already have in this valley because of where God has placed us in our different opportunities and jobs.
So we want you to think, wherever you go this week, think multiplication. Who am I impacting? Who outside of me, right, needs Christ, needs His forgiveness, needs the joy of walking with their Creator in a redeemed life.
You going to tell them what happened last night?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, what the heck?
Yeah, what the heck? So, guess I am now.
You don't have to.
So, I've been praying for my neighbors, like we encourage you to do, and we'll again here in a moment. And there's a new neighbor that I'm getting to know a little bit. Probably have had a total of 5 minutes of conversation with him in my whole life so far. And went to get some milk late last night. Needed some milk for breakfast this morning. Went last night. Walk in, and there is that neighbor coming in the store with me. And I'm thinking about this sermon, see. This is what we want you to be thinking about is this sermon, too, see. So now, like, okay, it's on my mind. And kind of that little chirp, like, okay, here's a neighbor. And so I said, and this may feel a little strange to you, it might have felt a little strange to him, I said, hey, let's have lunch sometime. And he said, yes, that would be great. Well, I was pretty happy with that. So then I took the next step, right? And this felt kind of funny. I said, can I get your phone number so I could text you? It felt like high school all over trying to ask a girl for like her phone number, you know. He said, yes. I was thrilled. So I came home with milk. And I came home with, I said, I'll text you, and we'll get a lunch appointment. We'll sit down and talk about life together. I have an opportunity just to talk about Christ with him. And I am so excited. That made my day. That was the best part of my day. Just that one little event, because I was kind of alert, because I'd been praying and preparing for this sermon, to speak on behalf of Jesus.
So if we watch for opportunities, this is what we use. Listen, Colossians 4, we've used this passage for years. Listen to what it says, 2 through 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So there's our pray and watch. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But here's something else. Look at what it says. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us the door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. You know, there are going to be days when we don't have that opportunity. Would we be willing to be praying for one another so that somebody else will have that opportunity? That's what he's saying. Look, you pray and watch, and pray also for me. Pray that I can have opportunities, because friends, I'm going to be in places you will not be. You are going to be in places I will not be. Would we be willing to pray not only for our neighbors, the ones that we have on our hearts, but also for one another? God, use us as a multiplying factor in this community.
Yeah, so we want to encourage you, something we have said many years actually here, to pray and watch. And it comes right out of this text where it asks us to pray steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving, that I might have an opportunity to share the gospel. And so we have these little cards, and we have a bunch more now printed off for today, pray and watch cards. There's a couple hundred of them back there. You can grab one as you go out. That we'd ask you to grab one so that you can participate in this verse. And on the back side of that card is a place to write five names that you can write down, and you can pray for those people daily. And every time you see the card, I pray for this almost every day, and it's more than five for me. But five's great, or two, whatever you have. But pray for many. I do it almost every day, and then I watch for opportunities that God opens up, because He wants us to have an opportunity to love people and care for people in Jesus' name. And as we do this as a church family, we're going to see God work in some unique ways.
Would you be willing to take that and put it on your refrigerator, just magnet it up there, with pray and watch on the outside? If you have their names on the outside and your neighbors walk in and see their name on your refrigerator, that might be weirder than asking for their phone number, okay? But if we just have pray and watch up there, we're reminded, because this is about reminding us to pray for our neighbors and then watch for opportunities to share Christ with them. And friends, this next year, this is what we want to place an emphasis on. We're so thankful for the transformation that God is doing in us and will continue to do, the real life transformation. But we want to give equal weight to the responsibility, the calling that every one of us have to see multiplication in our lives, in this fellowship, across the world. And so we're preaching this two-part series this today and next Sunday, and then we're going to go into the book of Acts, and we're starting right with the first missionary journey in Acts 13. We're going to be looking at Acts for several weeks. So we're going to be talking about this so that we can get that little bug, that little chirp in the back of our brain to remind us, how can we share Christ? What's the opportunity? Who is here now? What door is God opening to us to share Christ?
And it can be as simple as just asking neighbors how you can serve them. We had a new neighbor just move into our neighborhood, and I just went over and said, hi, I'm Kevin. Anything we can do to help you get moved in, anything we can do to serve you, just little things like that that say you care and you're paying attention to them. It could be all kinds of things, mowing their lawn, shoveling their walk, whatever it is, but just little ways, all the way to getting a chance to actually share what Christ means to you. But during this series now, and in the book of Acts, Easter lands right in the middle of that whole thing. But I think it's April 12th, I think, is Easter. So we're going to give you just a three-part challenge between now and Easter that we'd like all of us to consider doing, or at least parts of. Maybe you can do it all. But one is invite one person to church. People are looking for a place to go on Easter, generally. Easter and Christmas, they are. Invite someone to come and check it out. Come and be part of and sit with them and just enjoy a Sunday morning with them. Two is invite a neighbor, friend, colleague over for a meal with you. Serve them a meal. Do that once between now and Easter. That's an easy one to do. You don't have to talk about anything but football if you don't want to, or whatever is going on in that season of the year, but invite them over for food. And then thirdly, and this is the most courageous one, look for an opportunity to share one time what Christ means to you. Explain to them the gospel. And if you are unsure how to do that or looking for a way to do that, there's lots of ways to do it. You can have your own way. That's fabulous. That's probably the best. But if you're looking for a way to do it, we encourage you to look at this called the Three Circles Life Conversation Guide to Sharing Your Faith. We have a bunch of those back there and back there this morning. Grab one of these. Look this over. This is an easy way to share your faith verbally with your neighbor.
So we encourage you. Invite one, feed one, witness to one. All of us can do something.
Yeah.
All of us can do, well, a lot of us can do all of it. Invite one, feed one, witness to one. Are you willing to do that? And just share with them the gospel. Listen here, friends, this is the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity and the eternal beauty of the gospel. But there's a problem. We have a problem between us and God. And that problem is a wall that we have built with our own sin. It's a wall that we looked at God and said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Leave me alone. And that has separated us from a fellowship with God. God desires fellowship with us so much, he said, listen, we got to take that wall down. Well, it costs something. It costs something that we cannot afford to pay. We can't do it. If we could, we'd have done it. We're the ones who built it. But God said, I want fellowship with you so much, I will pay to take that wall down. And that price was paid on the cross when Jesus died. He didn't die for himself. He died for us to remove that wall. And now the wall is gone. And all that remains is you and Jesus. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the price that he paid to remove that wall? Have you given him your life? Have you received his forgiveness? If not, it is as simple and as eternal as saying, God, I am sorry. I have blown it. I am really sorry. Would you please forgive me? Father, I give you my life. I'll do what you tell me to do. I confess that Jesus is Lord. If you have never done that, we want to encourage you. Let us pray with you. Prayer room afterwards, anytime during the week, let us pray with you and share with you what God's Word, the Bible, says about how you can experience forgiveness of sin.
And then for those that have received Christ as Savior and been saved by personal faith in Christ, the Bible says be baptized. In first service, we baptized one this morning. We've baptized five this year so far already. We're pretty excited about that. If you are a believer in Jesus and have never been baptized, let us know. We'd love to get you set up for baptism. In fact, I'd even challenge you this. If you're a believer in Jesus and you've not been baptized and you want to be baptized today, you come talk to us during this song. If you're a believer in Jesus, we'll baptize you this morning and all celebrate together.
That's right. Water's warm, baby.
Yep, it's ready to go.
It's ready.
All right.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the love that you've shown us in Christ. Father, now there are some here this morning, very probably, who have never received that love, experienced it in a personal and real way. Father, I want to ask you by your Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us in terms that we can understand of our need for Christ. Father, save someone in this building today. Father, most of us in this house have already accepted Christ as our Savior. We want to ask you, would you please multiply who you are in us into the lives of others? Whether it's on an individual level, God, through community in this fellowship, or on a larger global scale, God, be multiplied through your work in us for the glory of the Father. God, thank you so much for using us. We ask that Jesus be lifted up and glorified. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Are you hurting and broken within?